All right, this is Randalicious, and welcome to the 61st Hexus podcast. I'm very glad that there wasn't a long break in between these ones. So, no further delays, let's get into it. I'm Randalicious, and I'm the leader of Hexus.
I'm Aubrey. I'm a Bronze Star.
Quite often I'm a Bronze Star too.
My name is Jet Clem. I'm Max of RuneScape Classic, by the way.
I'm Omar Zero. I'm a Lieutenant in Hexus.
All right. So, Jiklum, it has been a long time since you've been on a podcast. Where the fuck have you been? And how have you been doing? What have you done?
It's been over the past 2 years or so, I've been training RuneScape Classic. And I maxed on that, I think it was like 2 weeks ago now. And just today I've put out saying that I'm no longer playing it because there's not really like anything to do once I max. And right now I'm just fishing.
Cool. Aubrey, the boys were quite disappointed you weren't on the last one. Tell them how you've been and what you've been up to.
Yeah, I've just been busy with life, a lot of stuff going on, so haven't had as much time to play or as much interest. Yeah, been getting back into skateboarding too.
Skateboarding.
Yeah.
You do any cool tricks or anything?
I can do like an ollie and shove it sometimes. Been working in ollieing like over things.
Tell you what, I don't know too much about skateboarding other than that I really like the like Tony Hawk Pro Skater games.
Yeah,
Those are pretty
they're good
good.
games.
The like Project 8 was probably the best one.
I had one for PlayStation 1 when I was a kid. It's a good game.
My only experience with skateboarding, I tried, now my words might be wrong, but I tried like dropping in on like a half pipe or something,
God.
and really did not go well, and like I rolled my ankle, and I remember like
Yeah.
I was like in eighth grade at the time, so I had to like miss a baseball practice.
It's a lot harder than it looks. I haven't actually
Oh.
tried it.
Oh yeah, so you can only imagine how poorly it went for someone that had never really been on a skateboard before. Not fun. All right, so let's get to the some of the updates that have happened. The first one that we're looking at is can I get the proper pronunciation of it? Anyone?
Put in
Poison
more time.
Autumn.
One more time, just one of you. Jiklum, what is it?
I'm gonna go with Quidamortem as a pronunciation of this.
All right. Quidamortem fishing was added. It's pretty much added like to raids. It's essentially barbarian fishing, but added over by raids. Have any of you guys tried fishing there yet? Or talk about some of the. And if you have, kind of talk about the spot placements of it. Would you like to see more updates like this in the future where existing content is replicated somewhere else in the world?
I was just about to go there and see if it's actually worth doing. I have no idea. Aubrey, did you get there yet?
Yeah, I went over there and there's three different places where fishing spots can be, and there's two fishing spots that will move around between the three places. And all of them are kind of far away from each other, so don't think it would be very good because at the Barb Lake there's like four fishing, like possible fishing locations that are all four or five that are all very close to each other. And so most of the time you can just be fishing on those spots, and most of those spots you can switch between without losing ticks.
Yeah.
I do like this, whatever the lore reasons are. I like that it's one thing that I like about it is essentially what it is, based on what you guys are saying, is it's pretty much giving people in between raids something to do. Like too often when I've watched like people streaming themselves at raids, like after every single raid, it seems like someone in the group has to go to the bathroom or something for 5 minutes. There's always seems to be a little bit of a break in between every single raid. So, I'm sure that this was something that was heavily requested by the PVMers, and I'm sure that they appreciate having something to do in their free time, or I'm sorry, like their downtime in between these raids. So I do like this, and I'd like to see more content like this added in the future. It's just a nice little quality of life thing.
Yeah, I think it would be nice if like the spots weren't so far apart, then it'd be actually like worth going there as an alternative for barb fishing. But if your plan is to get fishing XP, you know, as efficiently as you can, then this spot's not ideal for you.
But if you're AFKing, it's pretty
Yeah, if you're
good.
AFKing, then it wouldn't make much of a difference.
Yeah, I agree. I like it because it's a change of scenery, but from what it looks like from the picture that I saw, the fishing spots are too far apart. So I'm fine with it, this being like added into future content, you know, efficient methods being in different locations.
Provides a change of scenery.
Yeah.
Like what if they added like two tick teaks somewhere else other than where it
Without the
is?
snake. Without the snake.
Yeah, we'll go without the snake. Just pretty much adding in more areas like that. Well, I guess it'd be a little different because like with fishing, you're not competing with people for resources or spots. Whereas I guess two tick wood cutting would perhaps be a little bit different in that regard. But all right, move on to the dead man. They ended up deciding to redistribute the prize money, $10,000 of it going to True Fox. A player who was in the final four.
Is this on? Hi, Aubrey, Billy.
Right.
What?
Sorry. People that are watching the stream will know what happened. All right, so let me just redo that whole question. All right, so on the previous podcast, we talked about the money for Dead Man Mode. Pretty much like they disqualified people, so. They ended up giving out the money to a player named True Fox, player who's in the final four and disconnected, and the other $10,000 is going towards charity. What do you think about the decision that they made? Do you think it's a good decision, bad decision? Would you like to see them go and do a different route? And what other way could they have potentially handled this better? For me, I think that they did a great job. I'm glad that the highest, like the last surviving legit player was the one that came away with the prize money. I think that that's very good on them doing the investigation that they needed to do and doing that. And then the whole charity thing, I mean, how many people are that heartless to where they'd say, nah, don't donate it to charity? So, yeah, I think it was real good, but just most importantly, I'm glad that the last legit man standing got that money.
Yeah, I'm fairly ignorant to the situation, but it sounds like it was a good choice.
Yeah, I agree with Aubrey. It's probably a good choice. I think it's good they went to charity as well as, the actual last player standing.
Yeah, maybe they should keep some money to prevent it from happening next time.
Yeah,
Because I feel like this is it's happening over and over. If you actually watched the stream, you would have seen that every single person that were like in opposition to Rot just disconnected. So, pretty funny.
didn't follow Devin at all last season. I think they should have just saved like 10,000 for the next winner and added it on, like make it 20K for the next winner. Because they keep saying how it's going to be like the next
Fucking
best season.
D-chain.
Archie's like, oh, it's going to be the best season yet. So, hey, if it's good enough, then 20K will go to someone who deserves it, hopefully. And then, yeah, the other 10K to charity, that's fine.
I think that since they did end up giving out prize money, what do you think about like in the future? Like I'm sure that the people that were behind the DDoSing and making other people. disconnect. No, I think that they're probably going to have some different tactics moving forward. You know, like, how can we cheat and try to get away with it? Like, do we have, like, a third-party member from our clan just, like, be not involved with us at all for the season? And then, I don't know. I think that it's definitely not going to stop the cheating. I think the cheating will become more advanced than what it's been. I think that really it can only get worse from here on out. And so, looking at the current poll that is out, current poll is talking about Dragon Slayer 2, and what a surprise, everything passed. What questions on here, if you guys take a look, there's a link. What questions on here did you not agree with, or... you know, just what is your overall opinion on that poll?
I don't think there's anything that struck out to me that I particularly disagreed with.
What were the ones that you liked the most, then?
I think, like, the new... runes might be like a new method for runecrafting, like money-wise.
They should
but apart
be
from that, I don't see anything like. You know, for us max players, it seems to be more like medium high level content. It's not aimed at like the highest players.
Yeah, I haven't even looked at the poll. I usually don't even look at polls unless or vote on them unless it's a close vote and I care about what might be coming into the game.
The only things that stuck out to me that I disagreed with on this poll was making it so that the square shield and or the kite shield and the plate body were attachments or made via attaching to the square shield and chain body, because I just don't think it's necessary. I mean, dragon armor is basically cosmetic in general, and I don't know. This doesn't really make any sense to me.
Don't want to lose the value of D-chains and...
Yeah, D-chain is always going to be iconic for its look, and it doesn't matter whether there's a D-plate body or not.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't make sense that you suddenly turn a chain body into a plate body. Same goes for a square shield into a kite shield.
And it's like, at what point are they going to let us start trimming our armor if we're able to... you know, bend the chainmail into a plate body? How the hell does that work? You know, when are we going to be able to start trimming our armor? Nothing on this poll really stuck out to me as being too interesting.
Seems like a filler quest.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's being advertised as a Grandmaster quest, but I'm really just more so interested in the rewards that come from it. You know, the that one necklace that pretty much gives you the catacomb bone crusher effect while wielding it. That one I'm very excited for. You know, it'll make things for chinning quite nice. You know, it really like very AFK, you know, almost like 20 minutes of AFK. So, that's really what I'm interested in. Not really anything else that was on the poll, I guess. Front.
He's muted.
Christ. Alright. The only things that didn't pass in the poll, though, was being able to make the Wrath runes through the Abyss and quest requirements being put on the D-plate and D-kite. Do you think any of those should have passed? Do you have any strong opinions on those?
I do kind of like that you can't make Wrath runes through the Abyss because there's no rift there for them, so they would have to modify how the Abyss looks for that to work. And I kind of like the idea of varied runecrafting routes. I do think there should be a quest requirement for the dragon stuff, though, since there is for all the other like analogous stuff. Like you need to do Hero's Quest for Dragon Battle Axe, and you know, I think you need to do Legends to be able to use Dragon Square Shield, so it would make sense.
Got Lost City for a D-Long and...
And Dagger,
Dagger, and you got Monkey Madness for the D-Skim.
Yeah, so I don't think it really makes sense for it not to be a requirement.
Well, that's what happens when you leave things up to the players. Do you want this to be more difficult to obtain? Yes or no? Pretty much what it is asking.
Yeah.
When in the last 2 years have we ever seen players vote yes for harder when they had the choice of easier? I'd be surprised. You'd really have to dig to try to find that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really get why the Abyss thing failed.
Do we know how you runecraft Wrath Runes?
We don't even know how good it would be.
I think the altar is somewhere near the guild, but I don't really know.
Is it going to be like Blood Runes where you just run back and forth?
Yeah, by the looks of it, yeah.
There's a cape you can use to teleport to the guild, so it'd probably be teleport to the guild and then run from there or something.
Looks okay to me.
It just looks okay. It doesn't look like anything special. I don't really think many people are going to be crafting those runes either. Like, they're going to be pretty good for what they like for the regular spellbook users, but I don't really think that there's many people that find much interest in it. I think we talked about like what the max hit with the whatever the fire wrath rune spell would be with the Tome of Fire and whatnot, but it just doesn't seem like it's not a sexy update.
Yeah, I don't think it will be better DPS than a Trident. And I don't know whether it will be cheaper or not. Depends on the price of Wrath Runes, I guess.
I mean, right now, Firewave and Tome of Wire, I think, is like an alternative choice to like a Trident at Kraken, say, for example. So this new spell
worse
might be...
though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's worse, but it's a lot cheaper.
Hmm.
So depending on the cost of the runes, then it might be a viable method for someone to use.
Yeah, so if the runes are cheap, then the spell will be good, but the rune crafting will be shit. And if the runes are expensive, then the spell will be bad, but the rune crafting will be good.
Yeah, it all depends. All depends how many runes you craft. There's too many variables to assume. Yeah.
Hard to pinpoint where exactly it'll land in terms of what it brings to the game. For the, I'm gonna just insert a question here. For these new dragons that are coming out, I know we talked about them a little bit last podcast, but like what kind of GP per hour do you think that these Addy and Rune dragons should be when they come out? Like, do you think that they should be like 1.5 mil an hour, you know, like on the same level as like Brutal Blacks with a Twisted Bow, or like what would you like to see in terms of them being a farmable monster GP per hour?
I think it would be nice if they were moderate average GP per hour, but their unique drops were quite rare and quite expensive.
I'd like to see it at a pretty good price. At least, I'd like to see at least like 1 mil an hour from them. I know that there's a lot of monsters that you can kill that are like right around that price range, but Christ, you know, I don't want them really turning into like myth drags in terms of how often they're killed. People really don't kill any mithril drags at all. So I'd like for them to be a little bit more active than current dragons around the game. Have them drop like a 2 magic seeds and I'm sure it could be balanced in a not too OP way or something to where it'd be pretty acceptable by the majority of the game.
Are the rune dragon's gonna drop like 4 rune bars at a time or whatever it is like the other dragons
do? Holy shit. Maybe
spending will be good.
Maybe it'll only just drop one. Holy crap.
Just check one. About your herbs and seeds on it. And all the other skilling supplies that we use, that'll be fine.
Yeah, just give us some fucking magic seeds, dude. They're like 220k and I want to kill myself.
Yeah, it's getting pretty bad. I'm going to have to buy some palms within the next week, I think.
How much are those?
I don't know. I haven't bought them in a couple months. My stock's about to run out. I hope they're not much more than 75k, but...
Oh, they're still like a little over 60k. That's good.
Yeah, they still got a nice price tag on them. Let me see. Palm saplings are currently sitting at 66k. I'm okay with that. Like, I don't really have any complaints, but let's get the live price on the magic seed sapling. That's what we'll go with. You know, we need to have a weekly segment where we talk about the terrible case of the price of magics. All right, so currently, here we are. We're going to start that up. October 14th, 3:37 p.m. EST, 218k. This needs to be fixed.
Reminder that Thai farming is pretty much, you know, doesn't cost anything. So, you know, if you want to spend some time and get some farming XP over there, you can do instead of using our magic seeds.
Yeah, and if you want the pet, just do like maples, willows.
No, just keep doing Ty, you know, you'll get it eventually.
It's like one in two bill XP or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, unless they change it.
They really dropped the ball. Like, they really dropped the ball with that shit. Like, that honestly should have been the best way to get the farming pet.
Like, yeah.
I know I'm not some content developer balancing shit or anything, but I just feel like that, like, it almost seems like it should have been a no-brainer to make this new mini game on this new island the best way to obtain a worthless pet. Like, that's all that it needed to be becoming even, like, think of how many people would be fucking doing that thing right now if they had just added that in. It would be...
We just need to tell people that tithe is efficient, so they'll start doing it instead of farm runs.
Yeah, I think how much CP they'll save by doing it.
You can get 9 in like 2 weeks versus months. So much faster.
And you save like 150 mil, 200 mil.
Yeah, it's really good.
Is farming up to the most expensive skill in the game now?
It's one of them.
Like I think if you don't do mahogany tables, it is.
Yeah.
I think even if you do mahogany tables, it still might be, actually.
It's like 12 point something GP per XP.
Based. What if you're doing 2 magic runs a day?
Yeah, that's 2 magic runs a day.
Oh, man. That's rough. Alright, so... to talk about some of the things on the poll, so... exciting news to the devout followers of Arum's. So the Arum staff is getting a buff to increase its magic damage increase by 5% and becoming a one-handed weapon, not the two that has been a signature to it over the last 10 years.
Panic Cell Kodai Wands.
Dude, I'm sure some motherfucker out there bought like 1,000 of these and tripled their bank. But, alright, so what do you think about the buff to the Arum staff? Do you think it's about time, or should Jagex have ignored the merchers spamming the same question in the Q&A every week, hoping that they could make money from this? I mean, honestly, like, I'm going to just jump in up here at the top. I think that the people that were asking for this were merchers. I don't think that players genuinely wanted to see the Arum's buffed. This seems like easy bait to make money off of because you keep asking for it. Like, I know that there are people out there that they will buy. You know, I know that there was people back in the day, like, they buy like fucking 500 Tarag's hammers. And then ask if when the Tarag's hammers hit, they have 2 splat marks instead of 1, you know. Make them hit twice instead of once. And they do that just so they can make money off that shit. So, I don't know. That's just my opinion quickly on it. Pot, what do you think?
Arum staff is dead content that should have stayed dead. Like, it's part of Barrows. Like, if you want to make money from Barrows, you're just going to have to suffer with getting a really bad item that's worth nothing.
Yeah, Arum staff was just a fun little item. It was total useless garbage, but there has to be some totally useless garbage items in the game. If you think about all the silly weapons that we have around that aren't good for anything, then, I don't know, it's part of the game. It makes the game more real. Not everything has to be good, have its own niche, and be useful, necessarily. It's kind of a cool-looking item. You can wear it for Fashionscape.
Yeah, not everything can be good, either. It's either the best item to use, or it's not, so, like, just let it go, man.
Yeah, I just don't think I don't think the merchers could control themselves. They had to get that money. Only thing they care about. So I'm sticking firm to my belief. I don't think any legit players asked for this. This is 100% merchers spamming it repeatedly over what I'm gonna assume has been at least like 6 weeks. Sorry, Jiklum, go ahead.
Is there any situation where you would use an Arum staff?
Maybe if you're too broke to, can the Arum staff, auto-cast ancients?
Because if you're using ancients,
it may fit in the area between people that are too broke to afford a Kodai wand, and want to auto-cast on defense. Can it do defense? Like, is it possible to auto-cast on defensive with it?
Not sure.
I don't know, but you do need the Arum staff for the Amulet of the Damned to work. Like, you need the full set. I don't know what it does, but yeah.
I don't know. It just doesn't really seem like there's a huge market of players that would find this being too useful to them. Do you have anything to add on, Jiklum?
Alright, with the Amulet of the Damned, players wearing the Arum set will be able to autocast ancient magics.
Okay.
In addition, players will have a 25% chance of dealing a hit with 30% increased damage. That's what it does.
Damn. What percentage chance of 30%?
25.
That's actually not that bad. A lot, like, all
yeah,
right.
Now that it's one-handed, you can use an arcane with it as well.
Yeah.
So.
I guess doing this then, that's gonna be
7.5%.
Yeah, like this is.
But you can't use the occult, so it's useless.
Oh, true.
Well, like even the staff itself, like I mean, you don't have to. I guess that staff then, if you can auto cast ancients with it, assuming you can then cast it on defensive. This would be the thing that you're too broke to afford a Kodai wand, so this is what you use instead because you still want.
You also can't afford a Staff of the Dead.
Well, Staff of the Dead,
or Master Wand.
Staff of the Dead, I don't think you can cast on defensive or auto cast, or I don't know. There's something weird with the Staff of the Dead. I'm talking. It's almost
Can't do defensive.
Yeah.
Thing.
So.
I don't know if I can auto cast.
I think it can auto cast. I just don't think that it can do defensive. That's what I think it is. But I know there's something weird with it that it. Was not worth doing. Holy shit. I'm about to die. Did not bring any blood barrage runes.
You can only auto cast Flames of Zamorak and Crumble Undead with Staff of the Dead.
Okay.
And the Master Wand doesn't have a damage percent bonus, right? So really, the Arum Staff is like second best.
Yeah, so it'll be
the Staff of the Dead,
some situation.
Magic damage by 15%.
Poor man's Kodai wand. What it is, essentially. So alright, I guess then my opinion will then change. I think that this is way too overpowered of an update for what was previously a worthless item, now making it the second best like mage training weapon in the game. I think this is stupid as hell. And that's a good way to transition into this next one, speaking of stupid as hell. So we got leather shields. They were shown off earlier this year in the poll. They offer to be a cheap ranged offhand shield with lower stats than the Odium Ward or Twisted Buckler, and also offer another crafting training method not higher than anything else in the game. Do you what is your overall opinion on these leather shields? Because for me, I think that this is one of the most, like, why the fuck is it being added content that I've seen in a while. I can't really think of any good reason as to why there shouldn't. I just really dislike this update on many levels. I've been given a lot of praise recently, but this is one of the ones that I just think bad. I think it was Tom H who was doing this, or whatnot, or maybe it was West. I think it was West actually. And like West and I started bickering back and forth on Twitter about this and how poor quality of an update I saw it as being. So yeah, I don't know. I don't like this.
I don't really see the necessity of it. I mean, most of the good ranged weapons in the game are two-handed anyways, and there's already a fair amount of ranged offhands at varying costs and requirements and stuff. And I think the highest level one, well, it uses redwood logs, which is significant because that's the second use for redwood logs now.
Panicked by redwood logs.
Quite a while.
I'll say that's its one redeeming quality, is that. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure it requires like 90-something crafting to make them, so if it's worse XP than Black T-Head bodies, that wouldn't really make sense if it's supposed to be the same type of deal, like leather crafting. So, I don't know. Do we know if it's going to be faster or not than Black bodies?
I don't think that they released any. I'm sure they would have talked about it if it was planning on being higher.
Do you know how many leathers it uses?
No, I don't. I'm sure that they've actually talked about it, but I honestly don't know.
Hmm.
It says on the page it uses 2 leathers per shield.
So 2 leathers in one log, or?
For the Black Dragonhide shield.
Does it say how much what's it called you get? XP?
It says resource cost is 20k. I don't see. It says something about Black Dehyde shield, but then on the right it says a redwood shield. Oh, I'm confused.
Oh, I think you use nails for them also, right?
Ugh.
Yeah, you need levers, nails, and logs.
You need that.
Also,
many different
also
things.
A knife and a hammer.
Oh my god, there's no way it's gonna be even halfway requiring all that stuff.
Sounds complicated.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Overly
why.
Complicated for small content for no reason. Kind of how I see it.
They're just introducing dead content. Like, they're doing all this effort to bring stuff back, but then they're introducing something like this, which, like, no one's really going to use. Because, like, there's God books, right? There's, like, the Book of Law. It's, like, a couple mil for the Armadale pages.
Yeah, they got. Yep. And then,
like, if you can't afford that, then, like, what are you doing?
And you got the Twisted Buckler, the Odium War. Like, there are several offhand range weapons or shields that we have right now. So it just seems kind of forced and, I don't know.
They're adding the Dragonfire Ward, too, with Dragon Slayer 2, which is another range shield.
It just doesn't seem to be. I don't know. I don't like it. Like, I think that they might think that players feel like they have to have updates happen all the time. Like, can you guys recall the last time there wasn't something major in the works and planned out? Like, I don't know. Like, we don't have to have these high quality. I saw that there was one of the JMods was like apologizing on Twitter about like the lack of big updates recently. Like, what the fuck? We don't need big ass shit week in and week out. I don't know. I feel like an update like this is one of those updates where they feel like they are obligated to produce some sort of content, and this is what they decided to come up with.
They should at least slow it down to monthly instead of weekly.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah,
weekly updates, who works for a company knows that you can't make a product every 7 days and release it. It just makes no sense.
Anyone have anything else to add on to the leather shields and their greatness? All right. So moving on from there are the introduction of two beginner quests onto Zaya, intended to flesh out the lore that has been there for 2 years. So both of the quests give a very small amount of XP, as well as 10% favor, and a teleport to the respective houses of Piscarilius and Hasidius. So what do you think about these two little beginner quests? Would you have liked to see more of these in the future? I know that we all would have liked to see them in the past, but what do you think about these two quests, and do you like the idea of quests used in like entry level quests adding in lore and stuff to the regions?
I mean, yeah, Zaya should have had way more quests on release, and adding them now seems kind of pointless because it's been like 2 years. I'd rather see a diary, like achievement diary for Zaya, than new quests.
I mean, better late than never. You can still make the island be kind of good. And diaries would be nice as well. And there's a lot of rewards. You could give a raid rewards, you could give catacombs rewards, you could give there's a lot of shit you could give. Yeah.
Woodcutting guild.
Buff soul RC and
whoa.
What do you mean, whoa? It's pretty shit.
It doesn't need a buff.
Make the Zaya Elite. For Zaya Elite, you mine. You can mine the Dark Essence the way that you could the first month.
Yep.
Holy crap. I don't know, I feel like there is a lot that they could do with a Zaya diary. I'm surprised that people haven't been talking about that more. You know, like when they were talking about cashing out the map, making it look good and more natural rather than copy and paste like much of it was. I'm surprised that, yeah, I mean, shit, about 2 years now it'll be. And Zay has not had a diary added to it, because I do remember them saying they'd like to add it in the future. But yeah, Zaya diary, that's something I definitely want to see, because really, I mean, after this farming guild that they're adding on to Zaya, like, what other plans could they possibly have for the area?
Didn't they have some, like, big Colosseum thing, or was that scrapped?
They did have
a, that turned into Last Man Standing.
Yep.
Alright. And we all know what happened to that. There's not even enough players to start a game.
There's no players there.
How many people watching this stream or this YouTube video forgot that Last Man Standing existed until we brought it up? You're not alone. I know that you're sitting there thinking, damn, what the fuck, Last Man Standing? I forgot they added that. You're not the only one thinking that. Trust me.
It's the place you accidentally teleported to trying to go to Nightmare's.
Yeah, that's what it
is. It's a GP bank for free-to-play Ultimate Iron Man. Very important.
Even Sween on stream, like, kind of roasted it.
What did he say about it, specifically?
Well, he, like, kind of insinuated that it was a failure.
I'm sure that...
I don't know. It was pretty big on release. It wasn't a complete failure. It just died out.
It's a failure because it failed to, like, the only thing that was around it was hype. That is why people did it. It was... That, like, I thought it was going to end up being excellent content, you know. I had high hopes for it. I thought it was going to be fucking great. But... Yeah. It was really only big because of streamers, and once streamers realized how stupid it was, and it just all went downhill from there. I mean, yeah, I'd say it was a failure, because I don't think you can just judge something based on its initial hype, because after 6 weeks, the game mode was dead. I'd say that's a failure.
Yeah, there's no reason to continue playing it, so it just eventually died out.
God bless that guy that's rank one last man standing. He's never gonna lose that rank. it is impossible for him to lose that. Sorry, I lost where I was. Alright, so they have the Dragon Slayer 2 design stream. Did any of you guys take a look at it? If you did, what do you think about it? And what do you guys think about them doing more design streams in the future? Is that something that you'd like to see more, like to see less? Or what other kinds of design streams would you like to see, you know, aside from just the modeling of stuff? Because, like, for me, I'd like to see, you know, like, the QA testers. Like, I would like to see a QA testing design stream or, like, a development stream. Like, where you see them crunching the numbers and the code and everything like that. I think that would be a lot of fun to see. But what did you guys think about the Dragon Slayer 2 design stream?
I didn't watch it, but I guess I do like the idea of design streams. As long as they don't, like, I don't know. I like there to be a little bit of surprise. And, like, as long as they don't ruin all surprise and excitement for new content. I think it's good.
Yeah, I personally find design streams, like, pretty boring, but I see the appeal. Like, it's good for other people who want to see the behind the scenes of how things are made, and also people can give, like, their input on, like, what they want to see, so you can see something that you suggested come into the game.
Front.
Oh. Yeah, I watched both of those, the Gargoyle one and the Dragon Slayer 2 one, like, yesterday. And I like West more than Ghost, just like him better as a personality. But they're good. They're nice to have in the background. I want more.
I've never tuned into one myself, but they look fun to watch for those that are interested in that kind of thing.
I've got to say, Jekyll, that really surprises me. I thought you'd be all over that. Seems like that'd be quality entertainment. I watched the Gargoyle stream for an hour or two, for quite a bit of time. I thought it was all right. I think... Yeah, there's a lot of positives from it, you know, getting to be able to interact with the community, getting live feedback on the product, and being able to get essentially a good sneak peek of what is to come. One thing that I gotta say that I don't like, now when I was watching it, it was Ghost who was doing it. You know, I think at some point it's a little too distracting for the person that is designing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think Ghost would spend more than half of his time talking about what he's going to do and then half the time doing what he said he was going to do, as opposed to where it could be just 100% of the time he's doing what he wants to do instead of, oh, hey, guys, now I'm going to do this. Now I'm going to do that. This is what I want to do. Here's what I'd like to see. And just talking about, like, the philosophy of it, which I don't know, like, I'd be totally fine if he's just sat there doing his work. He doesn't need to have the camera on. He doesn't need to be commentating on every single stroke of a pen that he does. I would just like to, I don't know, it's almost as if, like, we're seeing what he's doing and he doesn't know that he's streaming. You know what I'm saying? Like, just have that shit on in the background and let's just see you naturally working. I don't think we need constant updates on everything that's going on. But I do like the streams. I do tune into the design streams more often, and I would like to see other design streams moving in the direction away from like the artwork of it, more into like the balancing of the content, the testing of it, and like the coding of it. That would be something I would really like to see.
Yeah, I'd be much more interested to watch a QA stream or a like developer stream.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we'll go with the same order on that next question then. You guys, they released the Dragon Slayer 2 requirements, and so let me just talk about those briefly for people. So the requirements for Dragon Slayer 2 are 200 quest points, having completed Legends Quest, Dream Mentor, A Tale of Two Cats, Ghosts Ahoy, Bone of Voyage, Client of Kurrend, skill requirements, 75 magic, 70 smithing, 68 mine, 62 craft, 60 agility, 60 thieving, 50 construction, 50 hit points. Alright, so for this Grandmaster quest, what do you think about the requirements for it? Do you have any issues with it? Do you think they're okay? What would you like to see changed? Give us your full opinion on it. Ed Aubrey.
I mean, the requirements aren't really that high. Didn't they hype them up saying there's going to be like super high requirements and everything?
I know that they did that with Monkey Madness 2. I don't think that they did that so much for this one.
But yeah, no. I mean, I'm not really a huge advocate for quest requirements being ridiculously high, so it seems fine to me. Yeah.
Well, I'd like to see some high requirements, like 80s. Like, if it's a Grandmaster quest, the skill should be a little bit higher. I think they said that like only like 5% of the player base like has the requirements as of this moment, which is, you know, it just tells you like how good the average player is when they vote on
the players that are voting on our content. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ.
That does include like hundreds of thousands of free-to-play bots and like just random accounts that were created and never played on, though, probably.
Yeah, like what do they classify as player base?
I'm pretty sure they said on the stream something to do with like it was 5% out of the active players. So
yeah, active players.
What is the
yeah, so active players are bots too then.
So probably someone that's logged in the past 30 days or 7 days.
I'm sure it's within 30 days for sure. I don't think that they would lower their data down to just a week. Like, I'd say it's fair to say anyone that plays on a monthly basis is an active player. Like, they're paying for the membership and they're logging in and ultimately like getting part of what they're paying for. I'd say they'd probably classify it once a month you're an active player, simply logging in. But
I'd like to see something else than the skilling requirements, because that's never been done before.
Like what kind of requirements do you have in mind?
I don't know, just something that doesn't have to do with skilling.
Like an achievement diary, maybe?
Yeah. Or some kind of PBM-related thing, I don't know what that would be.
Having killed a boss.
Kill 1,000 green dragons.
Jesus. Or like gotten a champion scroll.
Yep, that could be a quest.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. I think the requirements are kind of like in the middle range, but you know, it's a quest. We're not expecting high requirements. Although back in 2008, I think, was it Wild Gothic Sleep required you to have a quest group to start the quest?
Now that's the type of stuff.
Have a quest cape.
That's the type of stuff I wanted.
If the quest was out.
That's a good point. I'd like to see higher quest requirements. I mean, I know that ultimately the quest is like the stuff that are in the quest is ultimately what determines how difficult it is, and realistically difficult only applies to how long the quest is. I mean, that's all that there is in terms of grading difficulty. But I mean, for a Grandmaster quest, I'd like to see a little bit higher requirements. I think that the mining requirement is the highest mining level that you need out of any quest in the game. So
yeah,
I do like that with a new quest, one that they advertise as being Grandmaster, does at least introduce a new highest minimum level requirement for a skill. Like with Monkey Madness 2, the quest requirement for that is like having like 50 something hunter or 60 something. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is.
I think
is,
a bunch of them are the highest.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the type of thing that I really like. And I also kind of hate it at the same time. Like, I don't have Monkey Madness 2 done on my alt, which has every other quest done because of the hunter requirement. But I think that that's really good, adding in a new highest level required for this skill for a new quest. So I'd like to see more of things like that. So I guess that they, I like that they did that with mining.
I think this is the first quest to introduce a hit point requirement, what I'm reading on the wiki.
You know, I would be impressed if someone was able to get 200 quest points and do Legends quest. Like, if they somehow were able to get every single requirement besides 50 hit points, I would be fucking shocked. Like, there's not an account that exists out there that has done Legends, 200 quest points, and doesn't have... Dream Mentor!
Yeah, and you need 85 combat for Dream Mentor.
So, like, what... Who the fuck came up with 50 hit points as a... Like... I'm struggling to see, like who's sitting there in the office saying, yeah, fuck it, let's just toss on 50 hit points as a, like, it honestly doesn't even need to be a requirement.
Maybe there's something during the quest where you're, like, guaranteed to get hit 50 damage for some stupid reason. You just stuck it on.
I don't really know. I don't know.
Well, you got 10 HP account builds. They might have high quest points.
But do they have...
They won't be able to do this quest.
I don't know. I think that it's kind of dumb at having that as a requirement. I would be very impressed if there was an account that existed out there that hit points was what stopped them from doing this quest. But... So there's now over 2,000 people that are maxed. Like floating around like 2,100. Do you guys believe that powerful perks like the Max Cape and Diaries being locked behind skilling incentives? Incentivizes casuals or those not interested in conventional training methods. Kind of influences them to vote yes or modify the game to suit their needs. Like they want more lazy content to use so they can max.
No, there's no way that happened.
Yeah, I think it incentivizes people to do so. Like, just suggest things because they're too lazy or whatever. I mean, before Max Cape, like, you know, you wanted to max just because to say you're max. But now with the Max Cape, there's actually, like, reasons to go for it. Like, PVM is...
It's the best item in the game.
Yeah, and then, like... For us, has its own benefits, and even PKs. You know, you might just bring that along with you just to spellbook swap from ancients or whatever.
Five.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive. It's pretty expensive to risk a max cape in the Wildy. You'd have to like.
Yeah, but if you have your team of 20 and you know gang,
it's impossible to die.
You know, don't mess with me.
Jesus. Yeah, I think the max cape is way too powerful. Alright, holy hell, what is that? Next question down. I thought that Ginge was going to... I didn't put together the format for this one. Shout out to Ginge and Jiklum for putting this together. I appreciate that.
This was just one big paragraph, but I spaced out in three paragraphs just to make reading easier.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to listening to you read it, Randy.
Oh, man. You know, I'm doing Necreals here. Jiklum, you're fishing.
Can we not Can we not read this question?
You know what? I'm okay with that. We can move on to the next one.
Who is not a very good question, to be honest.
Ooh.
All right. All right. We'll just move on then. So for anyone who, well, fuck it, we're all answering it. Are there people you know in real life that know you play RuneScape? If so, are they aware of how much you play? If they are, what do they think about it? You know, friends, family. What is their opinion?
I'm not sure if they really understand how much I'm playing. But yeah. I've pretty much been sitting on my ass playing computer games for the past 17 years, though, so it's nothing new.
I'm sure. I think the only people that know as much as I play are the ones that like are aware of like what CML is. So like they see like how much EHP is gained, and then they say, "Damn!" So like I already know he's playing more than that because ain't no way he's getting 100% you know, EHP. I think that they'd be surprised if they knew how much it actually is, but. You know what? I might not. Maybe they wouldn't be surprised, actually. I'll take that back.
I mean, anybody who I know well in real life knows that I play RuneScape. And, like, people at work know that I play, but they don't know how much I play because for one thing, they've never really asked. And, you know, it wouldn't really make sense if you don't understand the game at least a little bit. Not that I've really been playing that much lately, anyways, but, you know, when I was playing more. But yeah, I mean, I'm not, like, afraid to tell anybody that I play RuneScape.
And not like Maz. Ooh, hey, hold on. Let's talk about Maz for just a second. Like, dog, Maz was on here before talking about how, like, terrified he would be if people saw that he played RuneScape. Like, some of you, like, followers of the Hexus podcast know that Maz is on here saying, like, man, like, I'd be sitting in class playing, and like if someone looks over, I don't care. I slam my laptop like screen down. They are not gonna see that I'm playing RuneScape. And like he was so what is the word that I'm thinking? Like he terrified, ashamed, terrified at the idea of people knowing that he plays RuneScape. And then fucking now he's out here on a goddamn stage playing RuneScape. Like, talk about coming out of his shell, man. Jesus Christ. God bless you, Maz.
So, like, my family knows I play RuneScape. I think only my mom and my sister really know how much I play. Other than that, like, yeah, just people know that I play it, but they don't know how much, and I the few people that I've tried to explain it to, they don't understand at all.
Doesn't your someone in your family play RuneScape?
No, I'm the only person. Right. My cousin played for like a month because I gave him 20 mil, but then he got hacked and lost it. So.
Yeah, I know some people that play, but like they've quit long quit now. They never played like near enough.
There was a time where everybody except my mom in my immediate family was playing RS.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't be telling your family that you're playing like three work weeks of RuneScape a week. That's just keep that to yourself, man.
Oh yeah, my mom does play RuneScape. She just hasn't played that much in a while. I get her to do quests for me on my alt.
Wait, account sharing? Yeah, it's probably not a good idea for me to tell people how much I play. I'll just say I play a lot. I don't give any numbers.
Alright, who the hell added this question? Alright, so... I'm not going to delete it, but I am going to move it to the end of the stream. You know, there needs to be some, you know, even for that last question that we just asked, that's more of the stuff I'd like to talk about at the end of it after we finish talking about RuneScape. All right, so what have you guys been doing in RuneScape lately? What have you been up to during the podcast? And have there been any accomplishments that you've had recently?
Well, currently I'm fishing sharks in order to try and get a big shark. It's like a 1 in 5k chance. And before you say, oh, that's inefficient, but no, sometimes I like to do
stuff
along the side.
Inefficient.
Oh.
A good one.
Oh. Yeah, I just do a bunch of little things. Like I might do a bit of Slayer here and there, or agility, or, you know, fish sharks.
Yeah, I just do whatever, really. Mostly Slayer, though.
Oh, yeah, I've been slaying throughout the podcast. People watching can see what's been going on with me. Hit 70 mil agility earlier this week. I was hoping to only have, like, 70 mil by the time I finished 200 mil Slayer, so I really need to, stop running them roofs. It's way too addicting. You know, like you go there for what you think is 10 minutes and then it's about hour and a half. You have no idea what happened. So less of that would be nice. Trying to max my alt really for no reason other than I'm kind of bored on the side. I've pretty much maxed a peer and I just need to get hit points. So, looking for like another side project to fuck around with, and I think that maxing on the alt is gonna take a while, but that's what I'm about to be doing. And yeah, I mean nothing really too exciting otherwise.
You ever thought about making a 9-man?
Nah, you know, looking back on it, I wish I would have made an Iron Man when like a hardcore Iron Man when that came out. But I never would have like done anything that would have put me at risk of dying. So like it would have been like I would have pretty much just like done one skill and like got like rank one hardcore Iron Man, and it like thing like doing like foot knights would have been something that I probably would have enjoyed doing, and it'd be pretty easy.
Hi Randy.
It'd be pretty easy to just transfer over that money, you know, just fucking, like, you could just drop the money, you don't even have to die. So, I don't know, I wish that I would have made a Hardcore Iron Man when it came out, but at this point, I just feel like I'm way too far behind to where I would have any fun trying to compete in those hardcore stuff. Shout out to whoever it was that came the first hardcore Iron Man to max.
I think his name was like Gilly or something.
Guile.
Now you
and
it right.
Osiris is really close too.
Oh well, good for them.
So I've been runecrafting lava runes for about a month now, and I think I'm gonna skill hop again. Do some Slayer, maybe fishing or woodcutting.
And half the skills there.
Yeah, man, I'm a notorious skill hopper. I gotta stay true to my name.
I've been still doing lavas whenever I play my main, but just haven't played that much recently. I've played the free-to-play ultimate a little bit here and there recently as well, but kind of just whenever I feel like it and not a lot of hours.
Hey,
I'm still working on RC.
Talk about that 78.4k hour that you had that you uploaded.
I just got online and decided to record an hour. It was the first one that I looked at in a while. I might try to do a better one where I actually like do multiple and, you know, choose the best one. But I just felt like
so that
recording
was,
an hour.
Was that the best hour that you had recorded? Like you've
yeah, it's the only hour that I had recorded.
Wow. I remember there was some image, Jiklum, you might have it, of Aubrey saying something about like what the theoretical max for lavas were.
Yeah, I think you might have it.
You know exactly what I'm talking. He was like, Aubrey was like, you know, the max for lavas is like 80.1k.
That would be assuming that you get. I think that was assuming you get the best lap time every single time, though, when it's RNG.
Oh, like varied by best two ticks.
I think I was assuming that it was like evenly 35 ticks per lap, but it's actually like 35 point something average ticks per lap. It's so weighted higher.
You were able to cover your tracks, I see.
Yeah, so it's actually like a perfect tick hour with average RNG would be a little bit below 80k, I think.
Well, he did say if anyone ever does that, so updates might come out.
Well, you didn't say that you weren't allowed to use Lumberyard scrolls, so.
Ah, yeah, look at that.
Yeah, too easy, though.
Well, you're an easy one to get. Alright, I'm doing smokes. Can someone read the next question?
I'll read it. So, recently in RuneScape 3, fletching became a free-to-play skill. And do you think it'll become free to play in old school RuneScape in the near future? And would you even want it to become free to play?
All right, so I'm first with this. All right. I think that this is kind of dumb. I guess like with RS3, I can kind of understand it more because they have like 35 different skills and adding one of them is free to play. Fletching probably doesn't seem like, no, I don't know anything about the economy of the game, but fletching seems like it would probably be like one of the least damaging skills to make as a free-to-play skill.
It does make sense to make it free-to-play because it ties in with woodcutting and woodcutting, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I would never. I don't think this would even get like 40% in our game in terms of support. I think that I wouldn't ever expect this to happen. I wouldn't expect any. I'd be shocked if any skill ever becomes free to play for us. And I think that a lot of that kind of just stems from us not having many skills and also shooting down the idea of every skill that has come our way so far. No, I don't think this will be ever be something that comes in. I can understand why RS3 did it.
Yeah. I mean, if it was free to play, the only thing you'd be able to do is make bows and arrows. That's pretty much it.
Oh, my mouse is fucking up. There we go.
What kind of mouse you got?
Got a G600, a Logitech. I think it was my mouse pad or like something stuck in the whatever it's called, sensor thingy.
The laser.
Yeah. I don't want fletching to be free to play. It's just a member skill. It should stay that way.
I wouldn't care if it was, because the only thing you would be able to do is like arrow shafts and then bows up to you. So I don't know. It could be a good move for.
Isn't you a members bow, or did he change that?
Yeah, you as members, and so are Rune Arrows.
Oh, okay. Well, Maple then.
Yeah, all you have is Maple and Adamant Arrows.
Could be a good move. Could make people. They could, like, trial them or something. Like, allow people to train some. I mean, that would obviously destroy the free to play people. So. Yeah, kind of bad.
I guess I forgot.
What you
that
can do is. Go ahead. I'll go ahead then.
All right, well, I guess that I forgot that they would have been restricted as to how much of fletching they would be able to do. So I guess given that, I wouldn't actually mind as much. I'll say I've gone from no to why not, I don't care because of that. Because, yeah, they would be so restricted on the content, like the fletching content that they can do. So I don't mind it, really.
Bronze bolts.
I'd rather it be kept free to play than trying to like be like restricted access. Yeah, that's about it.
Alright, is there a new question?
Yep.
Aubrey, you can take this one, read it off.
If you had to pick any skill, what new skill would you like to be introduced into OSRS? I have not ever been able to think of a good idea for a new skill. All of the skills that exist in the game right now feel very logical, and they make sense as skills, and I feel like all the skills that were added after, other than summoning, that were added after old school were much more of a stretch, and I don't really want summoning just because it affects game balance so much. So, yeah, I would rather just not have a new skill.
You know, I kind of like the idea of sailing and some of the things that they wanted to do with it. I think that they actually, had they put more work into sailing, could have made it something that would have ended up passing. You know, like, all too frequently I talk about how we have no control over this game. It's just they have a plan for what they're going to do with the game, and we just have to approve of their plan. And with sailing being part of that plan, you know, that they talked about, I don't know if this was in 2015 or 2016, but I know that, like, it ended up, one of the polls that it had passed at, like, 70%, which, that is a high fucking majority of people that were in interest of it, and I think that they could have made some tweaks to it and ended up getting it to pass. I know that they've ended up introducing most of the rewards from sailing that they've ended up coming out with since then. I don't know if I particularly want them to go down sailing or not, actually, now that I think about it, but sailing was a very popular idea, but I think that it's too much of a meme. I don't know. I'm fine with how the game is. I don't really want there to... I can't make up my fucking mind.
Isn't that animal husbandry that was, like, suggested? Isn't that basically, like, breeding animals?
Yeah, and that's coming with Farming Guild. It makes more sense for it to be part of farming.
Yeah, there's, like, too many... Like, out of the new skills that could tap in, there's, like, aspects of it I would want, but then there's, like, negatives to it. So I wouldn't, like, fully agree with a new skill. I mean, it'd be nice to train something else, but... I don't think we're ready for a new skill yet.
I think the only one... Oh, sorry. To you.
If a new skill were to come to the game, I'd want it to be a gathering skill. And the only other gathering skill that we've seen is divination, but I don't think the rewards would quite fit. But I'd be down for divination.
Yeah, I really enjoyed divination. At least training it was good.
Tell me about it a little bit. What is it?
It was efficient to AFK it. That's about it.
Wonderful. All right. Well, basically, I'm on board.
There were, like, these little pool things that you, like, siphon out of, and they move around every so often. So you AFK at the pool thingies and move around and fill up your inventory and then take them to a big pool thingy and put them in there. And there was, like, different areas for different level ranges. It was basically just another gathering skill, semi-AFKable, but kind of relaxing. And XP per hour was, like, 70 or 80k on release, I think, which is pretty good.
Yeah, if they're going to do a skill, I would want them to do summoning, but you gathered the charms, like, through divination kind of activity. Mm-hmm. So you actually had to gather the charm first, so it wasn't just do Slayer first and then do summoning, but you could do it any time.
More like gatherer style and not just a super fast viable.
Yep.
And not as OP.
Yeah, because it would actually add time to max if you had to do that.
And start it at like 30 or 40k an hour so that it has some room to be devalued.
I know that I heard some people talking about Artisan. I don't know where it was or where I saw it, but there was like an Artisan fan club of people wanting to try to bring it back. I don't think that would ever...
Artisan shit.
Just, you know, I don't think that Artisan was as terrible as people say. I thought that the first dev blog for Artisan was piss poor.
It was worse than people said.
I just think it's a terrible idea. It shouldn't be a skill. I mean, if they want to make like a mini game activity or something out of it, that would be alright, but it should not be a skill.
I ended up voting yes to it at the end, just because I was hungry for something.
Yeah, they should make Artisan a mini game. Like, you go to some place, and some guy tells you, build this, and you go and get some stuff, and you build it.
Would you get
basically like ours three daily challenges, except more than once a day?
Would you get like an imbued dragon pickaxe for 15%? Would you get a?
No, you get like a construction outfit or something.
All right, so let me link this document here. Let me try to find it here quick. So, I've got a few things that I'd like to see changed. This document is called the Catacombs Revamp and Quality of Life. So here, I'll link it in the chat here. So in here, I talk about some things. Pretty much there's some issues that I've seen while I've been slaying, some things that I'd like to see to counter it. As well as, it's pretty much just like redoing the catacombs. You know, like they redid Neve's Cave after realizing how shit it was. Time to take a look at the catacombs and do that as well. So some of the things that I talk about here for what I'd like to see. So you guys look at the map of the catacombs. There are two different rooms of jellies. One of them are all the way off to the east near the Dust Devils. And the second room, you know, that second room actually has more jellies in it than the north room, and the north room's like four times the size. But so Dust Devils are the second most popular and most crowded task in the game. I'd like to see the northern jelly room changed to Dust Devils, you know, with eight Dust Devils in it. There is a small little area in between the greater demons, abyssal demons, and Necreals. It's like when you walk in the first room of Necreals, there's like a little staircase that you go up, and in there is like three or four different greater demons. And I'd like to see that changed to, I don't know, seven Necreals, however many is in the normal size room. I say this because there are still two other rooms of greater demons then in there. And also, like, there's still the Chasm of Fire, which was meant to be like, hey, this is where you go to kill demons. There's 17 greater demon spawns in the Chasm of Fire. A couple of others. I don't know what it's actually called. That's just how I'm calling it. But then next is the, there are ghosts that are just south of the rope as soon as you come down. And there are seven ghosts in this room. I think that that room should be changed to Ankus. I say this because the other Ankus are a little bit further out of the way. This would make Ankus more killable. Sometimes they are used as a point task for people to do. This would pretty much just make it be something that more convenient to get to, and it's something you would do. I say this because there is already another ghost's room down here, and that ghost room has 10 ghost spawns in it. So this wouldn't really be too bad to add in. Next, I want to add in, so at the bottom right of the map is where there are sand crabs. I'd like to see those sand crabs change to brutal blacks and brutal reds, and then reposition the sand crabs from the spot that they're currently sitting in place of the moss giants that are to the east when they spawn. There's already several moss giant spawns in there already. This isn't hurting anything. And then just a couple other like shortcut ones. These shortcuts I think actually wouldn't be too bad. I know some of the stuff that I'm asking is a little ridiculous, but like these shortcuts I don't think are too bad. So As soon as you walk down into the catacombs, I'd like to see there be an agility shortcut to get to the abyssal demons that are right by the entrance. And there's like a little ledge there. Just make it like 70 agility or 75. Hop on up there. That'd be great. And then there are the northern abyssal demons, you know, the one with the two rooms. And to get there, you either have to run all the way around through Necreals and through greater demons to get there, or you'd have to like run through the metal dragons. So I'd like to see just a small little shortcut being added in to that area. Like 60 agility or something to where you can avoid that. And then just some other quality of life things. See a box, bank deposit box at Motherlode Mine, as well as a fishing cave teleport to Otto's Grotto, woodcutting cave teleport to the Woodcutting Guild. Fossil Island Wyverns and regular Wyverns need to be one task. And then like make two tick mining something that works again. Pretty much.
Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. So break it down. what are some things you think suck about it? What are some things you think don't suck as much?
I think the agility shortcuts that are being proposed on this, you could add that as like a...
Say a diary.
Maybe diary in the future, yeah. That'd be nice.
Yeah, the dusts can be fixed by just making the north island have 7 instead of 5.
That would be nice.
If they just did that, they wouldn't be crowded anymore. It's that simple.
Yeah. What are some other things that you'd like to see added in as like quality of life? Aubrey?
I want to be able to have XP drops turned on without minimap orbs turned on.
Yes,
because minimap orbs are annoying, and now that I'm not using them anymore, it's like they get in the way because I click exactly where they are, like every lap doing lavas. But being able to have XP drops in game would be kind of nice. It's the same thing with mining. I had minimap orbs off and had to use Ospori XP drops, and now I just don't use them at all.
Yeah, I don't know.
What are some other quality of life things you guys would like to see added in?
Can't really think of anything at the moment.
I'd like to see the woodcutting cave teleport you to Redwoods. That'd be nice.
Would be. You got quite a hike to get there currently.
Fishing cave pond teleport.
Yeah, I'm still upset that that failed the pull when it was originally pulled last year. Maybe this year, I don't know what
makes
exactly
sense
was.
For their respective guilds, if there's going to be a teleport.
Yeah, I'd like to see that added in. Alright, so something that we had happen over the last week was a Hexus competition. What we did, it was two teams. It was eight versus eight, and Bront and I were the two captains of the team. We got to pick our squads, and then, you know, the teams went head-to-head, and the team with the most EHP won, and my team was able to come out with a pretty dominating win over Bront's. So, I know three of us here were in the competition. You know, the other two of you guys keeping up to date with it, so... What did you guys think about the competition that we did? If you participated, how did you do? And what were some of the biggest surprises that you saw during it? And what would be some ideas for competitions you'd like to see in the future?
I was in it. I got first place, MVP, whatever you want to call it. I thought it was pretty cool. Froggen came out of nowhere, started playing a lot again. Unfortunately, I think he like kind of died out on the last day. He probably could have beaten me. I'm not 100% sure because he was doing agility and I was doing mostly lavas, which is slightly above EHP. And I'd like to see more of these because it encouraged a lot of people who were dead to the high scores to come back.
Yeah, biggest surprise for me was my first pick delivering 45% of what he promised. So that was interesting.
Shout out to Dan S. for sending off Brant. Hey, Doc. Dan S. was the number one overall pick of the draft. Holy shit.
How much did he play?
He said he's going to play at least 70, and he got like 32.
Nice.
Even I could have beaten that, and I'm no good.
Froggen was not one of the early picks in the draft, but he was definitely the steal of the draft, putting in the hours that he was able to put in. Biggest surprises, I also want to give a shout out to Sideboob. He, I thought, played exceptional this last week. You know, that was a surprise to me. You know, great on him. And who else? Dead Cantus with 100 hours as well for a smiley. That was awesome to see. And then Boogeyman, fucking dude, Boogie's out here doing like boss slayer and still ended up getting 70 HP on the week. He probably played like 115 hours. So he was out there grinding. I know Boogie had a great week of like slayer drops. He got like 3 imbued hearts and an eternal gem. A nice week for him. Yeah, I really liked the competition this week. Made me not do agility as much as I probably otherwise would have, and got me out of bed more often. You know, sleeping a little bit less. Although today I did oversleep. Podcast start. But I've been very pleasantly surprised with how successful they've been since we've started doing this over the last couple months. Something that I kind of want to see for next month is a region-based competition. So, you know, bring this back, America versus Europe versus the world. I think that would be one that people would really like. Aubrey, we're going to need you, though. You got to set aside a week. What? Yeah. Team America.
I might have a week, like, the end of the year.
Yeah, I guess Canada could maybe be included. We could Team North America versus Team Europe. I would definitely like to see in the future, next competition, I want to see region-based teams go at it. I think that would be fun to see. What about you guys? Anything?
Do we even have any Canadians?
Broads is.
Oh yeah.
And there's someone else that plays quite a good amount that also is. The name is eluding me at this time though.
I would like to be on the competition one day, but I just don't play enough efficiently.
Oh, I'd say you play enough. Like, if you just ran around.
Yeah, I definitely play enough.
all you got to do is just run the roofs for the entire week while dicking about, and I'm sure you'd have it easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, just make sure you have a full inventory of Fashionscape, and you're good to go.
Yeah, keep yourself entertained for the week. Like, I'm sure you could easily get, like, a 60-plus hour week just doing agility.
Oh, yeah, definitely 60. Yeah, I'd probably aim for like 90. That's what I've done in the past.
Yeah, like just run the roofs the entire week. You won't even realize it, and you'll be the team MVP.
In my dreams.
All right.
The day I become MVP is the day Link Titan stops going for 200 more.
Well, I'm looking forward to you signing up for the region-based competition next month, then. Jiklum carrying Team Europe to its first regional win in Hexus history. Someone submitted this question. I don't know who or why or what, but What is like some of the best shows that you guys have been watching recently? Picked up anything good? Seen anything good? Tell us about some of the shit you've been watching. What are your favorite shows that are currently out right now?
Forgot about favorite anime and cartoon.
Go ahead, Pot.
Favorite cartoon would have to be Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Good choice.
And what shows I've been currently watching? I've been watching Teen Wolf.
Nice.
What's Teen Wolf?
It's a werewolf TV show, but it's kind of meant for girls.
Jesus Christ. Jesus. All right. What is what's so appealing about it?
I like supernatural stuff.
Jeez, I mean it. Christ. All right, I got that. Hey man. All right. Ron, what about you?
Favorite anime, Boondocks. Really good anime. I
Anything else?
haven't really watched anything. Not recently, no. It's pretty dry.
It's a pretty bad time for TV right now.
Boondocks is an American adult animated sitcom on Adult Swim. I don't think it counts as anime.
It's an anime.
Is that the one with got I know what you're talking about, never mind.
Yeah, I don't.
Ah, fuck it. What about you, Jickum?
I don't really watch like anything to do with anime or cartoons. I mean, like what I have watched is probably like stuff like Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh as a kid, but that's it really. And like shows and films, I don't really watch anything of that either. I think the last thing I watched was like the Emoji Movie just to see how bad it was.
Oh my God.
All right,
Jesus.
please take a minute, tell us about the Emoji Movie, because I've heard it's the worst movie of all time. I need you to tell me about it,
I can't
please.
really say much about it because one, I watched it in 480p, and two, I watched 10 minutes of it before just clicking X and then deleting it and emptying my recycle bin. Don't want to see it again.
So, give me your summary from those 10 minutes.
Bad.
Yeah, I might have to give it a try just to see if it's as bad as everyone says it is.
I think it got rated like a 2 out of 10 on like movie rating websites. Really
Yes.
bad rating.
So it could
Nice.
have been worse, is what you're telling
It
me.
made its money back. I think the budget was like $50 million.
$50 million
It
for an
made it
emoji
back.
movie for what goddamn reason? Wow. So over the last few weeks, I've been watching some different TV shows that I started picking up recently. So I watched the entire series of Rick and Morty. It's okay. It's just okay. It's a cute little show. It's just all these people on the internet literally like ruin the show. It's okay. Fuck off with your memes. Something that I started watching is Star Wars: The Clone Wars. The like a cartoon of Star Wars, and it takes place in between episode 2 and episode 3, and like it is aimed at kids. You can definitely tell by the attempts of humor that it makes throughout, but I still feel like it's not that bad. Like I don't know, I'm enjoying it. I know it's for a younger audience, but I like the show so far. I'll keep watch. I'll finish the show.
Favorite anime I've watched recently is Samurai Champloo. It's really good. I've been watching Black Mirror, which is pretty good, other than one episode so far was bad, but pretty interesting show. And I've also been watching Initial D, which is a fun anime.
All right, so something I know that I forgot to do on the last couple podcasts, I think I'll chalk that up to me being rusty, was giving away some OS Buddy Pro codes. So I'll be giving away 6 months of OS Buddy Pro. All you have to do is be a subscriber on YouTube and leave a comment on the video. Dragon Ball is not anime.
It is anime.
It's not. So all you gotta do is, all you gotta do, leave a comment. Dragon Ball is not anime. Get yourself 6 months of OS Buddy Pro. When a show is so good, it promotes itself from an anime into a full blown cartoon. It reached that level of success. So, anyone else got any shout outs or anything you want to say before we end the podcast here? All right, see ya.